I'm going to be looking at hope, and it's not coincidental that some of those things that people were talking about, breaking through the clouds, Jesus being the King of Kings, and the fact that it is the truth and we just need to believe it, are all part of what I'm going to look at hopefully this afternoon. So, I've got a bit click happy there, sorry about that. So last week I believe that Paul was speaking about being in Christ, and that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this week we're going to kind of continue a little bit by looking about the fact that we can have hope because we are in Christ. So I want to read you our text this afternoon, which is from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. So I haven't got it on the screen. If you've got your Bibles, you're free to turn, or you can listen to me read. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the force of him who fills all in all. I'm going to pray for a moment. Lord God, I pray that you will help us, Holy Spirit, that you will come. Thank you that you're here already. We don't have to ask you to come, that you're here. Thank you. And that you'll reveal to us more about hope this afternoon and about the words that we're looking at from Ephesians, that they will become relevant to us and affect us today. Those of you that know me will be able to confirm that I'm not a deep scholar of the word, although I'm working on it. And so it shouldn't be too mentally taxing this afternoon, because I like to keep things hopefully on a level that I can understand, which I'm hoping it will be relevant for everyone else also. So the context of what we're reading is a general letter to the people of Ephesus, which is a region. Some of the early manuscripts don't have the word Ephesians in it, which is interesting. I might raise a few questions as well as answer some today, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It was written around the same time as Colossians by Paul. It was clearly written to the people in this area, in this region, to be read out. Ephesians is split into two halves. The first half relates vertically about our relationship with God in Christ, who we are in him. And the second half is about really how we work that out in our relationship with each other. So that's with other people that you see sitting across the side there or at the front here. And also those people that are not yet believers outside of where we meet in Grace Church. Paul was basically laying out his theology, his doctrine, and really it's the gospel, Ephesians. It's talking about who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, the truth, and then how that means that we effectively live out our lives. And I believe that God is saying to us today through this, or wants to say to us, know who you are in Christ. So know the truth. And then let this affect how that you relate to one another. I want to look at these things today. So why does Paul pray for a revelation about hope? What is the hope to which he's called us and what it is not? I'm going to look at some verses to support my theory. Talk about if we get this or understand it, then what? And also, how do we respond? Click happy again. When you read the Living Bible translation on this matter, it talks about being flooded with light. So as if this truth was in darkness, but then God illuminates it. And that's what I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will do. As we read it and look into it and talk about it a little bit today. I have some questions of this passage, because at the beginning, Paul is giving thanks. I do not cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And he talks about that they have a reputation, and it's a good reputation. So I'm wondering at this point why he's saying and praying that they should not be protected, or why he's asking that God would reveal to them these three things that talks about hope and the inheritance and the other thing that we'll look at a bit later. Why does Paul pray those things? Because he's already given thanks for the reputation. I'm wondering why he doesn't pray for protection, because around this time lots of people were being martyred, lots of people were being killed for believing in Jesus. So why doesn't Paul say, and I also pray for you that God will keep you safe and that none of you will die or be killed? That's not in the passage. I think that Paul knew that there's no hiding place, and there's no hiding place for us as Christians. We shouldn't be segregated and sit in this room alone. We have to go out of here and live our lives. Paul knew this, and we'll see later on in Ephesians 6 when it talks about the armour of God that there isn't a defensive armour on the rear, and this assumes that we're always moving forwards and that we are not retreating and going back and therefore don't need any rear defence. I think Jesus encapsulated this in John 17:15, where he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, when he's praying to God, he says this, but that you keep them from the evil one. So we're in the world, and how can we be safe in it? How can we be looked after? Well, I think part of it is knowing who we are in Christ and knowing about this hope and what it is. So what is the hope that he's called us to, and what is it not? In this context, the word is described as and means this: a wish or desire accompanied by confident expectation of its fulfillment. It's not wishful thinking. The word hope, this word hope, appears about 144 times in the Bible. It's often linked with faith and sometimes can be used interchangeably, so that it almost has the feeling of faith. It's not me saying to Ben, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. It's me saying to Ben, I hope you're not going to do that again, if I was doing it in that manner. I have a confident expectation of its fulfillment. I want to really focus in on one verse. When I was looking at this, and I've read it lots and lots of times in the last few months, I first of all narrowed it down to three things, and then I thought, well, it's too many. So I've narrowed it down to one word, really, which I'm going to look at today, which is hope. And really my prayer and hope, you get that? My hope is that as we go along this afternoon, we'll see that that we all need hope in our lives, and that really what everyone was saying before is a truth, and this hope is a truth, because the word hope we're going to see relates to Jesus and who he is. So I really want to try and pull out this word hope and how it relates to us, and it's a truth, and what we need to do in effect to respond to it. So Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. So just looking a little bit deeper into that, the words that I've underlined, just want to explain a little bit. So it's quite hard to have eyes in your heart as a physical heart. So this word, cardia, heart, that's used here, doesn't mean the literal organ that pumps blood around your body. It means the centre of knowledge, understanding, thinking and wisdom. The seat of the mind and the will, and it can be taught what the brain could never know. In heart, the word heart in scripture speaks of the very centre or the core of one's life. The seat of moral judgment and thought. So when he's talking about having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, he's talking about who we are really, the depth of us inside, what we think, our mind, emotions and will. That word enlightened means to cause light to shine upon an object, to make it clear, to cause to fully know or to cause to understand. And in this context, it's undoubtedly referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who illuminates spiritual truth to the hearts of believers. So there's a sense in which it's hard for us to understand in our hearts this hope, being enlightened by it and the fully understanding of it without the Holy Spirit. which is why I prayed at the beginning that he would be here to help us to understand that. And we often find that as we dig deep into the Bible that we really need his revelation to be able to unlock and understand what's in there. And lastly, the word hope here is a desire of something good with the expectation of obtaining it. So it's a strong confidence that something good is going to happen to us in the future. And Paul talks about it and expresses it as Christ Jesus, our hope. So he talks about it as a person. And it's both now and not yet. So we have the hope, the future hope, which is eternal life, which some people might say is heaven, or however you want to describe that. But we also have a living hope, who is Jesus. And we're going to look a little bit deeper at that as we go through some verses now. I read this one out last week. This is David talking to himself, which you're allowed to do in this context. In other contexts, it might not be advisable. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. David is saying to himself, cheer up. He's had whatever going on, and at this time, lots of people were chasing him. He was hiding in caves, and it was not going that well. He'd been anointed as king by Samuel, but he wasn't going to be king for many years to come. And he's saying to himself, hope. Don't stay cast down. So sometimes it might be okay to get cast down, but he says, don't stay cast down. You can hope in God. Psalm 71:5. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Again, David's saying that the Lord is his hope, that God is his hope. Psalm 119, 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. So at this time, he would have known what a hiding place was for and what it was like, because he was trying to escape people that were trying to kill him. And the word, what does the word mean? You're allowed to talk at this point. So in the Bible, the word is used a number of different times for meaning a number of different things. In this context, Well, let me ask you another question. What does the word sometimes mean in the Bible? Or who does it mean? Ooh, okay, thank you. Excellent. So when he's saying, I hope in your word, he's both saying, I hope in what I read, and I hope in you, God, Jesus, interchangeably, because he is the same person. In Lamentations, that cheery book that you can often read at night to help you sleep. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. I don't mean to belittle God's word, because some of the portions that you read and you think, actually, I'm never going to get anything out of this. Helen, my wife, started reading Job at the beginning of the year, so I thought we were going to have the first few months of misery in 2013, but she's actually found a lot of depth of hope in it, and of Job trusting in God for all sorts of stuff that's going wrong and bad in his life. And so there's no portion of scripture that is not worth reading. Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. So in one sense, the Lord is my portion. Jesus is all we need in the spiritual sense. Therefore we can hope in him. Let's have a confident expectation and trust in him. In Romans 8:24. For this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? Kind of confusing, but he's saying you can't see hope. If you could see hope, it wouldn't be hope, it would be something else. It would be the realization of what you could see, therefore you wouldn't need to necessarily hope about it. So you don't need to hope for what you see. Well, you do need to hope for what you don't see. You do need to have a trust, a confident expectation of something that is going to happen for what you can't see. And don't forget that the unseen realm is more real than the seen realm. I see you sitting here, but also I don't see, with these natural eyes, all the other things that are going on. We have a soul, body and spirit. God is spirit. There are angels. There are all sorts of things that we don't necessarily see or are often not aware of around us. And I think that hope, faith, lives in that realm. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So we can see that God is a God of hope. It's inherent into his nature. And that we need, again, the power of the Holy Spirit to abound in, to excel in, to be full of hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul writing to Timothy here. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by our command of God, our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. So if we're in any doubt here as to hope and who we can describe it as, Paul is saying to Timothy that Jesus is our hope. It's him. And again, writing to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. He's also tying in the fact that hope in Jesus is having hope in eternal life. They're inextricably linked. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Note here that it's a confession of our hope, which for me means speaking out, talking about it, praying into it, and not just letting it be something in your head that passes through and isn't real. I think that as we talk out things, they become more real. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we can see here that the hope isn't dead, it's living. So we both have hope now, it's a living hope, and we will have a future ultimate hope. So we've whizzed through a number of verses there quickly. And now I want to tell some stories, and then I'm going to do something else that you can look at and, you know, not in the sense of entertainment, but provide something, a different form of communication of what we're going to talk about. Does anybody know who this lovely little lady is? It's not my grandmother. Anybody? Any guesses? It's Corrie ten Boom. Thank you very much. Does anybody know who Corrie ten Boom is? Thank you very much. So, she was a lovely lady. She wasn't this old during the war. Obviously, the longer you stay alive, the older you get. But she... Thank you. Good there. She was hiding Jews during the war from the Germans and the Nazis, who were trying to find them to do not pleasant things to them. In her bedroom upstairs where she lived, there was a false wall, and she hid them behind that wall, her and her family did. Unfortunately, during the course of time, she was caught, and her and her sister were sent to Ravensbrück camp, which was one of those camps where not very pleasant things happened to people. Her sister Betsy died in 1944. She was still alive, Betsy. Sorry, she was still alive, this lady, Corrie ten Boom. And she was moved into a section of this prison where all the beds were totally riddled with fleas. And to the extent, as soon as you walked through the door, you were jumped upon and eaten alive. And it was just a horrible, seemingly miserable place to be. However, one of the advantages of that is that the prison wardens wouldn't go in. So once you were in that wing, you were left alone. They wouldn't come in because they didn't want to get eaten alive, and they didn't want to get fleas all over their body and carry them out and taken out of there. So through those fleas, God had protected the women from abuse and harassment, which was happening in the other wings of that prison. They could hear screams from those things going on. Dozens of desperate women were free to hear the comforting, hope-giving word of God, because Corrie ten Boom was a Christian and she shared that with them. Through those pleas, God protected the women from much worse things and made sure that they had their deepest, truest needs met, which is knowing God. She came out of that experience and to say, amongst other things, this: there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. So even though she'd lost a sister and many bad things had happened around her, she still had hope intact. So if we get this, if we understand this hope, then what does it mean? Hope, the confident expectation in God, will enable us to carry on. A personal story to share here. We have three boys, Toby, our oldest boy, and then Max and John. And after Toby was born, Helen was pregnant in 2003, and was due to give birth on the 5th of November 2003. We went for a routine scan on the 2nd of May to be told that the baby, well, she had something that wasn't working. And we'd lost our baby, and she had to go for an operation to remove what was there, which was not very pleasant at all. Not only was it not pleasant, but something went wrong during the operation, and when she came out a couple of days later, she started to bleed heavily. And being the stubborn person that she is, didn't want to go into hospital. So I sat her in the car and drove her to hospital. And as we were walking down the corridor to go to the ward, she passed out because there was just basic blood pouring out of her, which is not helpful for staying alive. And so we carried her up there. When we got up to the ward, they said that her veins had collapsed and they struggled to get stuff back into her. So she very, and I'm not exaggerating, she very did nearly die at that point. And I vividly remember in the evening of that, when leaving her in hospital, being recovering, and standing in the kitchen with my mum and dad with my arms around them, praying and weeping and crying and out to God, and trusting in Him and hoping in Him. And that hope at that time helped me to carry me through. So, and then these verses became a bit more of a reality to us. And these are in Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, as I go on and talk about the next few things, and I'm not going to be much longer now, there are some items which I believe are for people here today. So I believe there's somebody here today that has had a similar experience to that. I don't know if it's losing a child or something very similar to that, and that you feel like another piece of hope was taken from you on the day when that happened. And we'll have opportunity in 5 or so minutes for you to be able to respond to that and have someone stand with you in prayer. The hope is basically the good news, because it's about Jesus. You might be sitting here thinking, well, that's okay for you, but this happened to me, you don't know about it, and I can never have hope again. And I think that God wants to say to you, this passage would say to you, that you're, with respect, missing the point, and that hope isn't generated inside of us, that we don't conjure it up, but it's a gift from God. It's offered to us, and we just need to accept it. You might be thinking, well, I'm a Christian, but still stuff has happened to me, and I don't feel like having hope in God because of A, B, or C. Good news for you too. The hope doesn't depend on how we feel. I don't want to belittle how feelings can affect us, because I know that they can, but the hope, eternal life, isn't dependent on us or circumstances, but upon a person, Jesus, and He does not disappoint. You might be thinking, I had a hope, but then a family member died, or this happened, that happened, and now I can't hope in God. Friends, please know that God is sovereign over all, in charge of all, the good and the bad. He knows your heart. He knows the depth of your sorrow and loss on this. Today, He gently wants to put His head under your chin, lift your face towards Him, and say, with His grace-filled, compassionate eyes, I'm here for you, and you can trust me, and you can have hope in me. Another story that came to me when I was preparing for this. We don't need to have hope. We don't need to hope for fame or significance, or that someone will choose us, as God has already chosen us. There's a point in the film Kung Fu Panda. Has anybody seen the film Kung Fu Panda? Great film. If you haven't seen it, go out and get it now. Where Kung Fu Panda, the dragon warrior, has been chosen, and Master Shifu, who's going to teach him, realizes that he is the chosen one, the dragon warrior, runs down the stairs after him, chases him, grabs him and says, I am going to be your master, I am going to train you. Kung Fu Panda's really excited about this, and he's like, yes! And I'm a bit like that, not in the shape of Kung Fu Panda, obviously, so don't mistake me, because he's quite round, although a little bit. But I've always wanted to be chosen for something significant, and to be picked. And it's almost in life like I've been going, pick me, choose me. And and waiting for that, and almost in a sense not getting on with everything else because I've been waiting for that. And I think there's other people here, at least one other person that's like that. You've been waiting for that moment, for someone to pick you, for something to happen, for something significant to happen to you. And God wants to say to you today, He's chosen you. You can have hope because He has chosen you. All you need to do is just respond to Him today. So hope, is it A, happiness over everything, person engineered, or B, help, our personage is empty? So at this point I've got some helpers, I need to come out and help me. Okay, quick. No hurry. Hurry up. We're going to try and then sort of, hello, do a little thing here. So you go over there, you can go over there, and Caleb, we can go first. Whenever you're ready, you can begin. Oh, in fact, actually, Karen, she can go first. Sorry, I do apologize. No problem. Come this way. That's it. Thank you very much. Well done, helpers. Round of applause to the helpers. Acting school. Hollywood next week. And the point I was trying to get across was that Karen had lots of bad stuff happening. And actually, it could have been a lot worse than that. It could have been even worse. But it was bad. And she was just wallowing. And that's it. She had no hope. She was hopeless. She didn't ask for help. Caleb had lots of bad stuff happening and going on, and at the end he said, help. All the time, I, as Jesus, was stood behind them. I was hope, and I can help them. But Karen didn't ask, and Caleb did, so he got the help. Point is, help. Ask for help. I believe that we all need hope in some area of our lives, okay? Pam said this morning, and we sung about that song, Nothing Hidden. Do we really mean that? I know that there's areas in which God might have spoken to you and that might have popped into your head this afternoon. If I have those two specific words, one was about losing someone and feeling hopeless in that situation. And another one was about wanting to be significant and be chosen. And God saying He has chosen you. If either of those two specific things, then you can respond by finding someone you trust.